Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to spend hopefully a couple weeks in this. I heard something Joel said this morning about Matthew. I think he said he was in Matthew chapter 26, and he said it's an appropriate time of year for Matthew 26 to come out, because it deals with dealing with this time of year leading into the holiday dealing with the resurrection of our Lord. And that is a tremendous event that is taking place. And it's a event that we know is true. And so this is going to lead us in that direction. And the main emphasis of will not be this morning, but it's on verse 21 of chapter 5, for it says, therefore, he has made him to be sin for us. Something that you and I could never comprehend. Something that is beyond our imagination. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You can almost, and we'll get to this, look at verse 11, if you would, and it's going to take us in the direction of where we want to be in that verse 21, but that will not, again, not this week. Knowing verse 11, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Notice it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Terror. That seems like a word that almost is contradictory in the philosophy that we hear in society today, because we want to hear about love, 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 and everything's love, and God loves everything. And everything's just hunky-dory and fine. But there is a terror of the Lord. And verse 21, if you would to try to comprehend this, is, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, meaning that there was a day whenever God took his son, put him on a cross, or allowed him to go to a cross, and while he was on the cross, God poured his terror out upon him, that you and I might know and become, not necessarily be righteous, but become the righteousness of God. And you and I will never be able to fathom the depths of this. Martin Luther, in his study of Jesus on the cross, whenever Jesus was there and the wrath of God was being poured out upon the sins of humanity, Martin Luther was studying that one day, and he said that he had to get away so he could try to comprehend what was actually taking place whenever Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so he said that to his church he was going to get away for a week and just contemplate on that. And whenever he came back to his church, he told his church that he knew less about it after spending a week in studying it than he did before he left, and that it was so deep of an event that took place, and it was for you and for me. Now, that being true, this morning I like to begin with verse 1. Therefore, he says, leading in the direction of Christ on the cross, for we know, now Paul is going to expound upon this earthly home that we have, or this tabernacle that we have, we're dissolved, this body, and in reality it's the word tent. Verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Think about that for a moment. it's true. And it was made possible because of verse 21. And because of the terror that were poured out upon our Lord. It said, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You ever think about that? What your house is going to look like in heaven? What you might look like in heaven? I think you're all going to have curly hair. God's not going to have to change mine too much. Going to look better than we look down here, I believe. Most of us, I think, is going to look around about 25. I think that's my age gap there. I've told you this before. How many of you thought you looked good at 25? How many of you didn't think you looked good at 25? How many think you never looked good? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, whenever you get to heaven, there in that new tabernacle that God's going to give to you there, you're going to look pretty good, all right? In glory someday. That's an event that's coming. Now, I like that part where it says, for we know. Do you really know that? Paul says that. He says, for we know. We've discussed this a little bit in the past where it said, Paul says in his writing here that you and I know. And there's a verse that we quote all the time. It says, eyes have not seen. Know that verse? Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. But, the next verse goes on, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit, that we get a glimpse of glory every once in a while. Karen and I joke around a lot of times. Now, we got married, she was, well, and I don't recommend this. She was about 15 years old. We'd been dating since she was 4. I wasn't much older than that. And now that we are older, we will sometimes look at each other and we will say things like this as we're looking into each other's eyes. And we'll say things like, I still see you. I still see you. Or do you see me in here? You know, this is not really me. I'm in here. And we ask each other, do we see each other? And we still see each other. But in glory someday, we will see each other as we truly are. You know, you will really know who Mike is. You will really know who Julie is. You will really know who Joel is in glory someday. You will know him. Amen? And you will really know what was in his heart and what's in our hearts for one another. There's coming a day when this will become a reality. But he says in this world, we get a glimpse of that. For we know now, he said. And as we've stated in the past, and we'll state this again over and over again if we stay together for years, and we asked ourselves, and we like to ask ourselves, how do we really know? Well, how do we know these things? How do we get a glimpse of these things that he's talking about? Paul says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. How do we really know this? That we came from. I asked once Wednesday night, I think it was, I said, how do you know that God exists? And one of the ladies in the church, she raised her hand and she said, well, I know God exists. I said, well, how do you know God exists? And she said, I talked to him this morning. Yeah, she knew God exists. How? Because she talked to him this morning. But if you look here this morning in chapter 5, and you go down to about the fifth verse, he tells us how we know in this. Now, again, we have covered some of this, and we are doing it a little bit this morning to get to where we want to be in verse 21, probably next week or week after. Because in verse 5, he says, back to verse 1, for we know, and then how do we know? In verse 5 says, now he that had wrought us for the same thing is God. Notice it said, now he that had wrought us for the same thing is God. Wish I had a different translation up here this morning of the King James. Because sometimes you read through this and you can get your, what do you call it, trip over your tongue whenever you try to express it the way that it's being said. But then as we continue into verse, it says, thing is God who also had given unto us the earnest of the Spirit that indwells us. So how do we know? We know because we have the Spirit of God in us, right? You know that you've been born again because you have the Spirit of God in your heart telling you that you have been born again. And then Paul's going to go on down through here and he's going to name all several different things that will happen as a result of knowing that Spirit and having that Spirit in your heart. I tell the story all the time, and I know I've heard, and I just heard this Wednesday night, not Wednesday night, but Friday night, someone telling the story, and it's the same story that I tell. And he said, you know, years ago, I used to try to read the Bible. And when I was reading the Bible, he said, it didn't make no sense at all. He said, even the King James didn't make sense. Or he said, I'd read it in another translation, didn't make sense. I couldn't understand it. And he said, finally, whenever I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, he said, that very moment, he said, I sat down, began reading the Bible, and he said, it began to make sense to me. Think about that, will you? Began to make sense to him. Why? Why did it make sense after he came to know Christ? Because he had the Spirit in him saying, this is what it's all about. And it bears witness to his spirit that he was born again, that he knew God. Notice he said, now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So we have the Spirit of God within us. Thank God for that. Amen. And folks, listen, you can see it in people, can't you? Can I tell you that whenever you get to heaven, you're really going to know Mike as Mike really is? Kind of look forward to that, don't you? Or whenever you get to heaven, you're really going to know Faye the way Faye really is. Faye, looking forward to those days whenever you really know those individuals. But you don't have to sometimes wait to heaven until you get to heaven to know these things, right? How many of you know that Joel is a good guy? And I've not seen nor ears heard, neither is into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those that love him, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. By his Spirit. And that's what he's saying here. His Spirit. He's given us the earnest of the Spirit, of his Spirit, that we get glimpses of these good things that are to come. God. And not only that, we see it in God's Word, don't we? How do we know that we have an earthly house of this tabernacle dissolved? If it were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. How do we know this? Well, Julie said it just a few minutes. Man, I love reading through especially the 2 Corinthians, and the church in Corinth was a terrible church, but there's a lot of information in the Bible that was directed towards them that you and I can apply to our life. Because in 2 Corinthians there, it talks about Paul saying things like, if I'm absent from this body, you know where I'm going to be? I'm going to be present in the presence of the Lord. Remember last week I said something like this. I really can't seem to comprehend sometimes what it's going to be like. But here it is. You love someone, and you've been in love with him, in my case, it's been 55 years. 55 years walking with the Lord with this desire to truly see him. And one of these days in the near future, walking in his presence, and there he is. There he is.
I seen a thing the other day, and I was thinking, you know, remember that the song that came out says, "I can only imagine." And I know you, we've been here and done this. I can only imagine what it's going to be like. And I saw this little clip the other day about this young girl. Suppose she died and she gone to heaven. And this clip, what it did, it showed her that she saw the Lord. She didn't sit there. She ran and jumped and grabbed a hold of the Lord and just hugged on him, you know, because a desire to see. The desire is there. Amen. God is so good. In his Bible, in his word, he tells us these things are going to happen, and they're real. Now, here's the unique thing about God's word is that sometimes you read in it and you think, well, if he says this, how do we know that? Because we can go over into other parts and know because he said this, that happened. For instance, if you go down to verse 17, now look at verse 17 there. And this is another way that we know that these things are real. And that is in verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Isn't that neat? Huh? All things have become new. I asked a guy one time, he and I was in a discussion, and he was talking about something and being in Christ and stuff like that. And he, man, this guy was off the wall kind of guy. He had all these crazy thoughts. And I asked him one day, I said, you know, whenever you're in Christ Jesus, now he's living in the way of the world and doing everything in the world. And I asked him, I said, well, the Bible says that in Christ, you become a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I asked him, I said, how many things become new? It's interesting. He told me, he said, well, I can tell you exactly how many things become new. And you and I can read this verse. And what he told me, and this is one of those stories, he said, three things become new. And I'll be honest with you, I can't remember what those three things was that he mentioned that had become new. And I looked at him, I said, just three things become new? I said, from there, I understand this new creature, a new creature or a new creation, old things are passed away. And then it says, behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. Everything changes. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that? Man, man, we could, character changes, right? How many of us know people who've came to know the Lord whose character had been changed? Man, I knew, and I've shared this with you before, a guy by the name of Dean France. Well, I wish he was here this morning. Bobby, he stood about your height. Little guy, little short guy. But he was a big man. Little short guy. Not like you, though, Bobby, when I first met him. That guy cussed and cussed and cussed. That's all he did. Cuss. I told him, boy, I said, you know something? If God ever changes you, buddy, you won't have no vocabulary. Because you won't have nothing to say. You'll be a quiet man. And it was interesting one night, he came back where I was at working, and he said to me, he said, we talked about this stuff before, all right, about Christ and getting saved and stuff. And he said, I began to tell him the story about how he gets saved and stuff. Dean France is his name. And I began to tell him how he gets saved. And he looked at me, and to my surprise, he said, Ron, I didn't know you was a Christian. I said, man, I thought I'd be telling you this stuff for a long time. I think the Spirit would begin to work with him. You know, worked that evening, and before he got home, he pulled off down at Frank Road and 71 South off the highway down there, and I asked Christ to come into his heart. He received Jesus right there on the freeway, and he comes back to work about the, I don't know what it was the next day, or I don't know what day it was that he got saved, but he comes back to work the next day. He told me, you know, I received Jesus as my Savior. And I said, man, that's great. And I'm thinking, now what you going to say?
And he was still as talkative after he came to know Jesus as he was before he came to know Jesus, but his language has changed. And actually, the church he was attending, he became the deacon in the church. And then later on, I heard he moved to Florida, and then he ended up moving to New York. Now, why he went there? But New York, I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to get on that, how bad Florida is than New York. But a new character. God says, we know this. Why? Because we've been changed. It's just that simple. We know that. Well, look, I was changed. And I didn't think I was a bad person. And never. Now, here's the unique thing, if you would just stay with me for a few more minutes, all right? And then I'll let you go out there and throw those snowballs at Joel. I think he left because he's afraid. She became a Christian there. She was young, about 10 years old, through Vacation Bible School. Now, later on, about 4 years later, and she and I started dating and stuff like that. And then she invited me to go to church with her. But before she invited me to go to church with her, she never taught Jesus with me, all right, because she didn't know a whole lot about it. But even then, for the couple years there, probably about 2 years, there was something about her, you know. I didn't know what it was, but I knew there was something different about her because she had a good friend. Her good friend's name was Kathy, and Kathy would come over. And I liked to drink at that time. I don't know more, but I liked to drink at that time. And I tried to get Karen to drink with me, and she said, I ain't drinking. What's wrong with you? I don't know. Just don't like to drink. And then other things, you know. And then Kathy, her friend, well, she would drink, and she and I would sit down and get drink. I didn't say get drunk. But we'd sit around and drink. And I actually, she and I related in those conversations better than Karen and I did. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Karen. It had nothing to do. But anyhow, but she and I committed because she and I lived in the same world, and Karen and I didn't, because there was something different about Karen, right? And then finally, I found out what it was. She'd already knew Christ. And she was a new creation in Christ. She just didn't want to do the things I was doing. Until God delivered me from it, then she and I began to communicate. And Kathy and I didn't have nothing. I just said, well, I don't want to drink. I tell these stories a lot of times, but I got to tell you this last story. All right. My brother, when I came to know Christ, he and I was a drinking together all the time. Friday night, trying to read the Bible, cutting to understand it, that type of stuff. We've already been there. Don't ever get tired of me because I'm going to do these things from now on probably. But anyhow, he and I was, I got saved. I come home. My house was our hangout. That's where everybody came to get drunk, you know. And we just quit. No more. We play, horseshoes out in the front yard, and everybody could still come play horseshoe. Can't drink here. We changed. And my brother showed up on a Friday night. He's still drinking. He shows up on a Friday night one night, and he's out there probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. And he's hollering. And I've probably shared this story with you already. And I'll probably share it with you another 100 times before I'm done. But he come out there in the back of my house, in the backyard, and he's hollering, Ron, you get out here. Because he said, I'm going to whip you. He said, you ain't no fun no more. You're no longer any fun. Why? The character changed, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and folks, listen, I'm not telling you something you don't already know. If you've been born again and you know who Jesus is, you know that there's been a change in your hearts. Amen? And that's why we can truly say, for we know that in this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens. Why? The Spirit of God, the Bible, and our own character had been changed. And we'll close with this. Even my brother on that Friday night testified
to the change. Other people will tell you that there's something strange about you. How many of you look at that person next to you and think, man, that's an oddball? Go ahead. Do it. Not you, Donna. You don't have to. We already know. You look at that person next to you and think, there's an oddball sitting next to me. Listen, the world will look at you. I'm telling you, the world will look at you because you've been born again. You know Christ. They will look at you and they will think there's something wrong with you. You're an oddball. You know? They don't necessarily like you as much as you would want them to like you because you just don't fit in. Can I tell you one last story, then I will close with prayer, okay? And I've probably shared this story with you. And if I had, it's like that guy said at the men's thing, you need it again. But after I got saved, I still wanted to hang out with my buddies. You know, these were my buddies out there. They were my buddies. And I went, there was, I don't know, Larry, Jackie. I mean, there's a bunch of these guys. All of us young. I'm 19 years old, not 18. I'm 19. I'm just a young guy, man. I still wanted my friends, you know what I mean? I hadn't made any friends at church or nothing like that. So I wanted to still hang out with these guys. And I go to their house and stuff like that while they're partying. They're not partying at my house no more. So I have to go to their house where they started having their party. And I remember I was sitting on the couch one night. And I shared this with you, I know. But I was sitting on that couch one night. And Larry came over and sat down beside me. And boy, this is a testimony to the Spirit of God. He told me, he said, Ron, I'm going to tell you something that you need to know. This is the world, all right, telling me. I'm going to tell you something that you need to know. And folks, listen, it's not just me. It had nothing to do with me. It has to do with the Spirit of God. And you know what I'm talking about. But he told me, I'm going to tell you something you need to know. You don't belong here. That's what he said. We don't want you here no more. That's what he said. We don't want you here no more. You don't belong here. It was a conviction that they were under. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. God's Spirit, God's Word, your character, and the world will tell you you don't belong here anymore. And folks, we don't. Why? Because we got a heavenly tabernacle there waiting for us in glory. That's why we don't belong here. And so we are just traveling through this world, pilgrims. And that's what, in reality, that's what this is all about, a traveling thing. My sister's name, I know I told you I'd close that other story, but I'm not. My sister's name was Wanda, and her name Wanda. I used to call her Wendy, but it's Wanda. And her name was Wanderer. That's what it meant, Wanderer. Somebody that wanders. And I remember I talked to her one day, and I said, you know, Wanderer, she was a Christian woman. And I said to her, I said, you know, Wanderer, what does that mean? She said, well, it doesn't mean that I'm just wandering around. It means that I'm wandering to this world, going to another place where I belong. I'm just wandering through. And that's what we're doing, wandering through. Amen. And one day, if the Lord tarries long enough, you'll look up and Mike will be gone. You'll look up, Brother Harold will be gone. Amen. What a glorious day. Folks, listen, I know this sounds bad, but what a glorious day that'll be. You look up and Brother Bob's gone, you know. And Barb's gone. Randy's gone. If the Lord tarries, you look up and you'll be gone. But you've owned some place, amen? Home. We know there's a tabernacle waiting for us there in glory. Amen. Stand with me as we close in prayer. God is so good this morning, folks. He is so good. That's our future. Thank you, Father, this morning for your presence here. We love you. And Father, we are excited about the things that you're going to do in our lives, in our church, in our community. We know that you're working, and Father, with you, your spirit busy about us, you're going to do some good things, and we are going to be excited as you do it. If we don't end up in your presence before this year out through the rapture, and if we don't end up in your presence through just natural causes, and we're still here, we know that you're going to do some good things. And we are so excited about it. We are just allowing your spirit to go before us, uniting us together as a family and as your people, trusting you as our Father to work your will in each of our lives and be glorified there. This morning we praise you, we worship you. We close this service with this invitation, and it's for you, Father. We thank you. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.